That brings us all the way to our fifth objective. Because Jesus is Lord, he must be worshiped. Turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 26. And as I said, we're not going to read it until the very end of the message, but we will be in Matthew chapter 26. The subtitle for today's message is Worship Him. Worship Him. Church, because Jesus is Lord, he must be worshiped. He must be worshiped. Now, why is that? You may be waiting for a long, complicated response as to why we must worship Jesus. But the reason we must worship Jesus is very simple. We must worship him because he's worthy. Amen. We worship Jesus because he is worthy. In other words, he is of such character and power that he is entitled to our recognition. In other words, we owe him our worship. That's a very important thing to understand, because sometimes we as Christians think that we are doing God a favor by worshiping him. But we don't worship God to help him out. We don't worship God to make him feel good, to make him feel better about himself. See, that's why we want to be worshiped. You know, we want people to like us and to lift us up in praise so that we can feel good about ourselves. But we don't worship him for those reasons. We worship God because that is what's due him. We owe it to him. Psalm 29:2 says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We worship God because he is worthy. So he does not benefit from our worship. It is what we owe him. But while our worship does not benefit God, it greatly benefits us. And that's really what the rest of this message is all about. Church, I want you to write this statement down in your notes, because for the rest of Bible study, we're going to really build out and explain this statement. Worship is necessary to live a productive, successful Christian life. Worship is necessary. In other words, it is essential to live a productive, successful Christian life. And we must know that when we worship Jesus as we should, it allows us to be more effective witnesses for him. Worship is essential. It is necessary to live a productive, successful Christian life. Now, for some of us, we might say, oh, that's great, because I know how to worship. And others of us might say, well, I don't know if I like that, because I'm not really good at worshiping. You know, I'm not an emotional person. But worship has nothing to do with personality. So let's take a moment to understand what true worship is and what it is not. See, worship is not just what we do when we come into a church service. Amen. Worship is not just singing and clapping our hands and shouting and crying. Although we can do those things and we can worship God in that way. Worship is not just being emotional. It is not just being emotional, although worship can and does produce emotion. But church, just because you are emotional doesn't mean that you are a true worshiper of God. See, there are some people who just get into their feelings easy. There are some people who just, they can just cry. They can just shout. They just have a bubbly personality. But just because you are emotional, that in and of itself does not say, I am a worshiper of God. See, I have seen people in church weeping and wailing and waving their hands and blowing snot all over the place. And at the end of service, before their foot hit the parking lot, they raising hell. Now, I've never seen it here from the Heart Church Ministries of Cincinnati, but I have seen it in some places. People can lift up their hands in worship and praise and yet go out and live and be something entirely different than what they just profess to be. So just being emotional does not mean that I am a true worshiper of God. And that is important because some of us don't feel like we are as close to God because we are not as demonstrative. We look at other people and we feel like, well, they must have a better relationship with God than I do because they are so much more emotional, so much more energetic. But you don't know what you're looking at. You don't know what you are seeing. You could be looking at a show. So just because you are demonstrative does not mean that you are a worshiper of God. Let's define that word worship. Worship means to honor a person. It is to honor a person. Not just any way, but honor a person for who they are. To honor a person for who they are. It means to adore. To esteem worthy. It means to praise and to reverence. Worship is to honor a person for who they are. It is to adore, esteem worthy, to praise and to reverence. So how then do we worship? True worship begins in the heart and it manifests itself in a fruitful Christian life. True worship begins in the heart and it manifests itself in a fruitful Christian life. So then how do we worship? Well, the first thing that happens when we worship, the first thing that we do is we acknowledge God for who he is. That is the first step in worship. Acknowledging God for who he is. That word acknowledge means accept and agree with. To accept and agree with. See, we've learned a lot about Jesus Christ. And over the course of the year, we can recite the things that we have learned. But beyond reciting what we have learned, have I accepted it? Do I agree with it? Or can I just recite it? Do we hear the truth about Jesus? And see, by the end of this year, all of us can recite what I have been teaching. Because I review week after week after week. But do I hear the truth, file it away, and then leave and fill my mind with doubt, imaginations, opinions, and with all sorts of things that are contrary to what I have been taught? Have I moved past reciting, and do I come into agreement? Is this merely an academic endeavor? In other words, just information on my page? Or is the knowledge of who God is in my heart? And is it personal to me? See, worship requires that I acknowledge Jesus for who he is, that I accept it, that I say I'm in agreement with what I have learned. Jesus, you are the Son of God. I know and I understand you are the sympathetic God. Jesus, you are my creator. You are my redeemer. You are my savior. You saved me. You gave me the Holy Spirit. You gave me the comforter. Jesus, I understand and I accept and I agree with the fact that you have all power, that you are able to remove sins, that you have the power to change. You can change my life. You have the power over death. Jesus, you are Lord, and I know you're coming back again. You're coming back again for me. You're not going to leave me here. Because you are Lord. See, we have to acknowledge God for who he is. Accept and agree. I can't just recite what I know. We hear it, we understand it, but do we agree with it? From day to day, do I live my life in such a way that says, this is what I believe? I know that Jesus redeemed me. I know that he brought me into a place where I am at peace with God. I know that he will never leave me or forsake me. I know that. Have we acknowledged God for who he is, accepted and agreed? And when we worship, once we acknowledge God for who he is, the next thing we do is we consider what the Lord has done. Amen. This is all worship. I start with acknowledging God for who he is, but then I consider what the Lord has done. Then it gets even more personal because I consider what he has done in my life. That word consider means to fix my mind on something, to fix my mind on something, or to meditate. See, when I worship God, I start by acknowledging him for who he is. And then I consider what he has done in my life. See, I have fixed my mind on, I've meditated on the fact that he's done great things in my life. That he's opened my blinded eyes. That he's shown me that the way that I was living was not what he intended for my life. That there was something better for me. See, I fixed my mind on what he did when he lifted me out of sin and out of darkness. When he showed me a better life, I fixed my mind on how God has grown me up over the years. And I realized, God, I wouldn't be who I am if it hadn't been for you. God, you have shown me an example of how to live. I didn't know how to be a man. I didn't know how to be a woman. I didn't know how to be a husband. I didn't know how to be a wife. But God, you gave me an example in your son. And when I followed that example, God, you made me who I am today. If I had not followed your example, I would not be who I am. See, I consider what he has done in my life. Fix my mind. Meditate. Jesus, you are my savior. You delivered me. You took the taste of addiction out of my mouth. You took drugs out of my life. You made me a whole different person. People look at me now and they wonder, how can you be so different than how you used to be? I used to be angry and bitter, but now you've made me kind. I used to be selfish and now you made me generous. I used to be a dishonest person and now you've made me honest. Jesus, you have done all of this in my life. Yes. This is worship. Acknowledging God for who he is, then considering what he has done in my life. Jesus, you are Lord. You are Lord. I'm having issues in my life, but I know that I can trust you. You've protected me from the enemy. I had problems on my job and you protected me. I had problems in my health and you protected me. You brought me through. Jesus, I went through at the gravesite, but you brought me through. I survived that period of mourning. Jesus, you are Lord. When I didn't know what to do, you gave me the answers. When it looked like there was no solution, you gave me a solution. And I know that it was all because of you. That is worship. I acknowledge God for who he is. And consider what he has done. And when I worship God, when I acknowledge him for who he is and consider what he has done in my life, it produces a response. Amen. That causes us to be fruitful. See, when we worship God, it makes us grateful.